There is a meaning to divine, we can say to all things divine. However, it is not our business to press ourselves. What is the meaning? What is the meaning? What is the meaning? Then that means we're riding the wave of knowledge seeking. We want to know the meaning. The real meaning is serve the higher conception. You have been shown enough to know what is the Supreme Lord, who are His dear most associates, etc. Now serve them. Not that, oh, now you know this, you want to press the meaning of everything related to Krishna. Everything divine. You want to press the meaning. Those things which are most confidential, you want to press. What is the meaning? What is the meaning? The meaning is they're confidential. And you have no business pressing the meaning. There is a defect there, knowledge seeking. Even about Krishna, particularly about Krishna's Leela, this may be a defect within us. And if we allow this defect to overwhelm us in the name of spiritual advancement, actually we will not make any experience. We may not make any spiritual advancement at all. Rather, we might find ourselves in the realm of aparad, making offenses. And offenses means then there's a ledger against us and we're barred from that thing we thought we were intimately inquiring about. Some people might think that our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, did not know very much about higher subjects. Some people have been so bold as to say that. These people are quite much in that lower inspiration to think and to say like that. But they base this on the fact that he did not talk extensively about higher subjects. But on occasion he did. And on occasion he quoted a verse here or there or something, which you don't find him talking about in hundreds and thousands of lectures. Because that thing was not for the talk. That was not even for the talk from the Vyasasam. So, it is not proof of someone's status by how high a thing they talk about. Rather, in many cases, it's just the opposite. Those who actually have the higher realization, have attained the higher Leelas and higher Ras, are sometimes found never to discuss these things, and they are found to become very disturbed and even angry when the higher Leela of Krishna is under discussion. There is one lecture, it's a darshan of Srila Prabhupada in Jagannath Puri, and this group of filmmakers came to see him. And they were going to make Krishna Leela Rasa Leela movie of some sort. And they wanted his blessings. And he said no. And then he said something, it cannot be given. Oh, but Swami, we're going to follow the classical Orison style. We're going to do it according to, you know, Vedic drama and everything. No, he said. You have never seen, if you look this up, you'll never, it's an hour and something conversation, you have never seen him say no so many times in 1 hour. In fact, he started saying no, no, no. And they would beg the issue and he would go no, no, no. He'd say no 3 or 4 or 5 times. So finally they, okay, we'll do a movie about Vatsalya Ras, Mother Yasoda, Krishna, like that, you give your blessings. No, cannot show. And finally, I think it boiled down to, if you want to make a movie about Kurukshetra and Bhagavad Gita. This may do good to the people. All this other stuff just misleads them. You cannot see Rasa. Once these dramas in Vrindavan, classical dramas, go there. You'll never find a Gaudiya Vaishnava there. No. You'll never find a sannyasi there, a Gaudiya Brahmachari there, any follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. You'll never see it in any of these classical performances. Never. And when Srila Prabhupada was asked about them, he said, yes, if you have seen Rasa Leela, then you may appreciate this Rasa Leela dance. But otherwise, you're in the space of enjoying, like we watch a movie, be it a documentary or just an action movie or what it is. If you watch a movie, be truthful, you're enjoying. You listen to classical music, you're enjoying the music. It's very hard not to enjoy. So, okay, you know, listen to some music, listen to some classical music, and enjoy that, you see. You want to see a film, a drama, there are different types. You may see Mahabharata type of thing, or some mundane thing, history, you know, Schindler's List. But actually, we are enjoying there, you see. But you don't want to do that in relation to Krishna. You don't want to go to Krishna's Leela for your enjoyment. This is the worst of the worst, you see. And that's what will happen. We simply enjoy. And suddenly, Krishna's drama lila is being performed. His dance with the gopis for what? Our entertainment. You see? There is a class of people, I forget what it's called, Sada Karani Bhav or something. It is emotion which is drawn up from the viewer by watching such drama. This is true. In this case, all the performers must be pure devotees of the Supreme Lord, and all the people who watch it, they should be of the equal status of pure devotion. Then, such dramas, when performed, actually awaken. Actually, at that point, the Supreme Lord manifests in that drama just like in the form of a deity. And the lila is performed, and this awakens the ecstatic feelings of love of those devotees who are witness to that. You see? But that is a very hard group to put together. You see? A dance troupe that are all pure devotees of the Supreme Lord and an audience. Very hard to put together because it is not a cheap thing to be a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. Not a cheap thing at all. Not a cheap thing. So we want to protect ourselves from making offense. And it is an offense to enjoy. Even Mahaprasadam should be respected and honored. Taken, not enjoyed. Don't lick your lips just because it's sweet or salty or it has your particular type of taste. Lick your lips and remember that its taste is because it has been tasted by Krishna. And it is His mercy on the fallen souls. Otherwise, if we eat Mahaprasadam to satisfy our senses, then we fall into Maya. We don't get the real benefits of the Mahaprasadam. It must be taken with great appreciation. Somebody wrote a letter, some Kamal, you remember that? Some letter, somebody named Kamal wants to come here and he wants to know what kind of food we have here. So when I write back, I'm going to tell him, well, in this ashram there is no food. And he said, is it possible for me to bring food from outside? And I'm going to tell him, no, there's about 20 people here, but nobody eats food. We only take Krishna prasadam, and there's plenty of that, and you don't even have to bring any of it with you. You know. So he just thinks the ashram is some sort of a hotel type of thing.
From Melkoti, right?
Yeah, yeah. Some man. But he asked, what kind of food? I'm like, food? Food here? Take prasadam. Krishna's mercy. But if you forget that prasadam means Krishna's mercy, then again you may find yourself just eating food and you don't get any benefit from that. So there has to be some conscious awareness in what we're dealing with. The holy name of Krishna. I've mentioned many times, t-shirts and things with Krishna's picture on them. Maybe one boy got himself a little pendant of Krishna. And I thought, where are you going to wear that? You don't wear that when you sleep. Don't wear that when you go to bathroom, toilet. You don't wear that there. Why? Because that's non-different than Krishna. Krishna's form in Krishna. And when we have a vision awakened by love of Krishna, we'll see these things more. They're not rules. They're not rules. They're real. They're real. Srila Purimar saw that nice, beautiful t-shirt of Jagannath, which was hand-embroidered in Russia or somewhere. Beautiful things they make. You know? Beautiful bead bags of Jagannath and Prabhupada. And then somebody came in with that t-shirt on, and he looked over and saw that, and if he'd been a little younger, he would have been out of his bed and on the floor in dandavats in front of that t-shirt. Because with his vision, that is non-different than Jagannath. So we told, well, whoever owns that t-shirt should have it on an altar by now. If they understood what they experienced when they went for the darshan. So those things which are Krishna himself, those things which are non-different than Krishna, are Krishnized by Krishna. You know, even what is that food touched by prasadam? It's called prasadi. Because it came in touch with prasadam. You see? There's the Mahaprasad and the prasad, and then sometimes we take it and we put it in another pot, and that becomes prasad. That's called prasadi, actually. And prasadam, and Mahaprasadam, and Mahamahaprasadam, gradations. And if we forget about these gradations and the proper dealings, at any time in the chain, it may turn mundane again, right in front of us. So how to deal with all things which are divine, that we have to pay special and close attention. All right, so back to a little closer here to today's event, the appearance of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The ocean of Sri Nityananda Prabhu's glory is infinite and unfathomable. Only by his mercy can I touch even a drop of it. Please listen to another glory of his mercy. He made a fallen living entity climb to the highest limit. To disclose it is not proper, for it should be kept confidential or secret, like the Vedas. Yet I shall speak of it to make his mercy known to all. So here is a small point. I'll try not to get back to the reading, but again, there are confidential things, and oftentimes we hear they're not to be disclosed. Yet it is pointed out to us, but they disclose it. Someone discloses this, you see. Someone discloses this. The meeting of Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu on the bank of the Godavari is similar. At the end of the meeting, Mahaprabhu told him, don't tell anybody about this or what you saw. But obviously he did. Or we wouldn't read about it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mm-hmm. Nityananda Prabhu himself was told by Mahaprabhu, you go to Bengal and preach Krishna Nam. Well, he went to Bengal and he didn't preach Krishna Nam. He preached Gauranga Nam. Mm-hmm. So different things like that showing there's something parallel. It's a higher thing, it could not be given. So it could not be given, but it must be given. But it should not be given. Yeah. Ramanuja was told, don't give this mantra to anyone because this mantra has the potency to liberate all living beings. He went to the center of town and stood up on this place, I think in Sri Rangam, and broadcast the mantra to everyone to hear. And in this way passed the test of his guru, ultimately. So, one thing that is there is that these things should not be given for our own prestige. To get the name as being very learned, we should not present this knowledge. To receive the reputation of being very learned in a big acharya, or not pointed to anyone, but a rasic acharya or any type of thing like that, this knowledge is not meant for that purpose. But higher knowledge is meant only for those who are fit to receive it. And those who have it may pass it on to those fit candidates at the appropriate time. And if it is passed on just to get a big following, just to get many disciples, just to collect money and all these things, then one may appear to be a big acharya, but actually not. One may find himself barred from the very thing that he wants to talk so freely about. Even the desire to be a big acharya is maya. Even the desire, I will preach and save the world, this is maya. I heard recently there were two Vaishnavas at a gathering. They talked. At the end, each Vaishnava asked the devotees for a humble benediction. One of the Vaishnavas asked, I pray to all the assembled devotees to please bless me that I will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And the other one said, I pray to the assembled devotees that they bless me that I never become proud in Krishna consciousness. And of the two, we are drawn towards the second. Because the first, as Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, we should not think that we are the self-appointed world acharya. And the danger of false pride is quite an imminent danger on the spiritual path. Such a subtle thing, pride, false pride, can ruin and destroy everything. If Krishna wants a blind man to see, if he wants a lame man to dance, he will do so. That lame man need not pray for that. On the Lord's bidding, he will choose someone. As we see practically in these modern times, he chose Srila Prabhupada, the number one most unlikely candidate in the whole of the Gaudiya Mutt, to be selected to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He was not especially learned more than his godbrothers. In fact, some of his godbrothers were vastly learned. Even in his Sanskrit, he does not get rated as a Sanskrit scholar who studied Harinama Vyakarna and all these high Sanskrit literatures. He had a working ability in Sanskrit, much like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He did not compose Sanskrit prayers. Any of his poems and things were written in his native Bengali and so forth. So in one sense, highly enlightened. He was a householder and did not even take sannyas till he was almost 60 years old by, you know, social measure. Not a likely candidate, you see. But yet selected by Krishna for the purity within, not for the glamour without. We praise, and many people praise Srila Prabhupada and say many things about him externally, but actually he was a very simple person. He was a very simple person. He was not very extravagant in the world. He only did two or three things, and he just did them all day long, which included honoring prasadam, chanting japa, doing kirtan, singing a couple. He'd sing the same bhajan every day. Every day. Jai Radha Madhava. He'd sing it every day. Very simple. He would give a class which would arrive at 45 minutes as if, you know, he had an alarm clock on his vyasa sign to tell him when to stop. He would give a simple class. He would go on a walk. He would hold discussions with people in his room, devotees, guests, and things like this. And before that, his life was even simpler than that. He was not a what you call a charismatic character. A lot of people are charismatic, and spiritually they're zero. Prabhupada was not charismatic. Personally, I find it very inappropriate when people call him the charismatic leader of the Hare Krishna movement. He was not charismatic. Charismatic is a material quality, and it's found in even the most foolish of people sometimes. Movie stars, the most immoral of people, and degraded people are oftentimes very charismatic, and of course they will use this and attract so many fools and attract people to them. But Srila Prabhupada was not charismatic. He was purely devoted to the order of his guru and to Krishna. And he was endowed with the potency of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In the words of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Nityananda Prabhu lived in his body for 12 years and made him dance. And you don't hear about it much. But over here on this side, we say that the withdrawal of Srila Prabhupada from the world, historically, it is not due to any disease. There is no recorded disease. There were so many doctors. A bunch of fools tried to establish their higher realization that it was due to poison or murder. It's probably a sin to even remember such a concept. Or to speak it like I just did. I'll probably have to see what hell looks like just for having recalled their stupidity. Whereas the real reason for his withdrawal from the world is rarely, rarely mentioned. If ever, it is mentioned. And that is due to the withdrawal of Nityananda Prabhu. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. One fine day, Nityananda Prabhu descended to make him dance all over the world. And one fine day, according to his own will, he withdrew. And when he withdrew, Srila Prabhupada also withdrew. If you ever chance to come across, stumble across, or otherwise search and find out the symptoms of Gadadhar Pandit in his feelings of separation after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, and his symptoms of separation that manifest in him physically, if you ever happen to find them and read them, and then go and read the symptoms of Prabhupada in his last 6 months, they are parallel to ditto. They are the symptoms of separation. They are not old age. They are not inflicted by any disease. They are, of course, are inflicted by the disease of the heart of Viparlamba, separation for his Lord, for his Master. And no other cause. That is the cause. So, the most unlikely candidate, I started by saying, the most unlikely candidate, not based on his knowledge, not based on his life of tapasya. Of course, he may say himself that tapasya was my family. Family life is also tapasya. Great tapasya. But he wasn't a tyagi, a renunciate. He never lived in the brahmachari ashram or any of these things. So very highly unlikely to succeed. Yet Krishna chose him. And it doesn't mean that there were no one else was pure. No one else was pure. That's not that is also not the way to look at it. In the time of Rupa and Sanatan, there were many devotees. Not only were they pure, they were descended parshads of the Supreme Lord. Even Swarup Damodar, who is Lalita Devi, or Rai Ramananda, who is Bishaka. But Mahaprabhu selected Rupa Goswami. He found something within Rupa Goswami that very much pleased him. He was very much satisfied with that. And therefore, he appointed Rupa Goswami and inspired him with the task of presenting the principal Ras Shastras and form the basis of this Madhurya Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya. Similarly, the Supreme Lord must have found something very pleasing, very wonderful, and very charming within our Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, he would not have selected him amongst a host of other highly qualified Vaishnavas at the time. Something very divine he found within him that pleased him greatly. And ultimately, that may be known only to the Supreme Lord himself. Although we may feel some inspiration to say, well, because Prabhupada was focused just on the order of his guru, and indeed he said that himself. Or we may say, because he had such love of Krishna. And it may be part of, but the point is, the Lord does choose his representatives to do the type of work that Srila Prabhupada did. And it has been pointed out that only the potency of Nityananda Prabhu, or Lord Baladev, can match that activities. In other words, it's humanly impossible, even for a Vaishnava, to do the things that Srila Prabhupada did. It must be the potency of the Supreme Lord himself. Who is in charge of propagation? Baladev, Nityananda, there for propagating. We're all trying to propagate. But why every preacher not the same? In some, their family is Krishna conscious. In other, their village. In other, a state. I recently heard one of my godbrothers initiated 600 people in one day. We don't even get six people to come here in a day, or to speak of 600. So, what is it saying? Yes. So, on such a scale as what Srila Prabhupada did, it was the opinion of other senior Vaishnavas at the time that this can only be due to the direct intervention, the direct mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, he was called the Shaktivesh Avatar of Nityananda. The Shakti, he was empowered with the potency of Sri Nityananda Prabhu to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Some people try to assign that he was a good businessman. Well, if he was such a good businessman, why his business failed? They say that. Even the history books try to write, well, he was a good businessman. And why his business failed in Calcutta and Allahabad if he was such a hotshot businessman? And then he just applied the same corporate structures. Why so? Not true. He was charismatic. He wasn't charismatic. He was very simple. Of course, simplicity itself may have its potency, attraction. That's true. But he was not a charismatic personality. Otherwise, he wouldn't be historically the most unlikely to succeed. In Gaudiya Mutt, he'd be heralded as some charismatic householder, very charismatic. He wasn't charismatic. He was very humble and he was very, very simple. He was very, very determined. He was a spiritual storehouse and dynamo of spiritual qualities, which are not always manifest externally. But certainly, charisma was not a quality of Srila Prabhupada. It's actually an insult. But people who don't know any better, they may say it. But certainly devotees should not say, oh, Prabhupada was very charismatic. It's a mundane quality. He was not successful based on charisma. He was not successful based even on his knowledge. He was successful based on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God and the mercy of his spiritual master. That was the basis of his success. And if you don't believe it, ask him, because that's what he himself says. And not just out of great humility. Humility is there, but it was also the truth spoken in great humility. By the mercy of his spiritual master, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just before arriving to America, he lodged his plea to the Supreme Lord. And he acknowledged, when he prayed to Krishna, that Srimati Radharani is my Gurudev. Now, and he said, in the form of my Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srimati Radharani, your dearmost, has given me this order. So he tied Krishna in a loving affection. The order which I have come to this land to execute is given by my Guru, who is the representative of Srimati Radharani, who is so dear to you. Then he said, basically what he said, if you want to get onto the good side of Radharani, this is your chance. Empower me to succeed in this order and she will be pleased with you. He just tied the kind of a loving circle which the Lord finds no escape from. And he did just that. And he empowered him for this work. So, Srila Sridhara Maharaj used to say, because of the empowerment of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he may have couched his own Madhurya sentiments. And certainly he did. We see much of Prabhupada's sentiments in his preaching Sankirtan movement, establishing Krishna Balaram deities and such, is in Sakya Ras. There is much of that. But in the very beginning, he also established that Radharani is his guru. Radharani is guru only in Madhurya Ras. Radharani is not guru in Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Dasi Ras, and so forth. Baladev is the guru tattva, Nityananda Prabhu is the guru tattva for the three rasas, or Shanta sometimes, Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya. But only Radharani is the guru in Madhurya Ras. Not anyone else. She is the supreme guru tattva. So, in one sense, he's establishing his position in the beginning of his prayer. But when the potency of Nityananda Prabhu came to him for this work, then his Madhurya sentiments were kept in the background and he performed the work that he was empowered to perform. So these choices are made. Who is empowered? Who is not empowered? These choices are the sole choice of the Supreme Lord Himself. But all of us should try to be a recipient for whatever the Supreme Lord wishes us to do. And it's important to remember, as we sang this song, Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your most worshipful Lord. Krishna is everything. You'll find this repeatedly said in poems of great devotees and bhajans, and even it is written in different places in Vedas, Puranas. Krishna is everything. And we live our worldly life with mother, father, brother, sister, friend, uncle, country, and all these things in relation to Krishna. If we miss that connection to Krishna, then it is simply a mundane life, and we are afloat on the ocean of infinite misery with no hope of being brought to the land. So certainly we're way out there in the ocean, and we have to begin somewhere. And in the end, we have to everything. Krishna has to be our everything. By the end, there is an end too. In this play, this boy is 6 years old. Then we'll be after 80 or 90 years, everybody in this room probably will be gone. But there's an end to all. Even the great redwoods that stand out there in Yosemite Forest that are 5,000 years old, there will be an end to those trees. Everyone has their... In the end, our everything should be Krishna consciousness. Our everything should be Krishna. Our every vision should be about Krishna. Our every thought should be about Krishna. How close are we to that now? And how close are we to death now? Well, no one knows. We've all been surprised when people younger than us died. No one can say, oh, I'm a little closer because I am Maharaj of 59, I am 57. We're closer to death than you. No one can say. Because you are young, you automatically live. God bless, you'll live to be 100. But no one can say for sure. So we don't look around and think, who's next? We should look within and say, oh, I could be next. Because one day our day comes. Before the end, our everything should be Krishna. Right down to every atom of our existence, every atom of our body should be devoted to Krishna and know nothing but Krishna. That is the goal of Krishna consciousness. And on the way, we try to happily tell as many people as we can about the happy life of Krishna consciousness, about the supreme goal of life. And for as many who want to accept it, we are prepared to accept them. Prabhupada said, send me the world, I will feed them. They were complaining about Krishna consciousness and people stopping work and how we'll feed the world. He said, just send them to me. You just send them to me, I'll feed them. Such a bold statement. Swami, we're going to send you the whole world and you're going to feed them. Well, send them means they're going to come in Krishna consciousness. Yes, we're going to feed them all. Krishna will. If the whole world came, I wouldn't be surprised if rice started growing in the clouds and floating down to the earth. Why not? It used to sometimes rain milk and all these things used to happen in pious ages. Wonderful things can happen. Does it always have to be acid rain followed by drought? Yeah, and more if the world is godless, followed by dirty bombs, followed by chemical warfare. Everybody in America right now is buying duct tape. Big, there's no duct tape left anymore because the government came out and told them, we're going to get hit big time with the chemicals or the biochemical. People are taping up their windows to try to keep it out, or a dirty nuke. And it's a huge risk that stores are being emptied out. The government came itself and told how much canned food and water you must have. Everybody. This isn't like a Y2K buzz even. It's military officers standing on the TV. We're going to get hit. And there'll be more of it and more of it and more of it. And unfortunately, you people are going to read about it the rest of your life, these young people. Unless there's a change in God consciousness in the world. And it's not headed up by Islam. And neither is Christianity really a candidate. They're at the root of so much destruction and devastation, these two religions. Nor is it the Jews. But there is a glimmer of hope that in Krishna consciousness, there is a glimmer of hope. And then some see that glimmer as a shining hope for the world, that if people become actually God consciousness, God conscious in the form of Krishna consciousness as we know it today, then we could be saved from all these miserable conditions which just seem to be marching upon us like an army that can't be put in retreat. And it would be possible maybe someday flower petals would rain from the sky again. It used to happen when people were pious, when they worshiped the Supreme Lord. We have heard these stories and they almost seem like stories. They could. Thing about Sridhar Maharaj, because that person had heard many things about Prabhupada, but he never heard anything much about Sridhar Maharaj. So he asked me. So I said, honestly, Prabhu, it was his affection. It was so consuming. It was so overwhelming. I can't say as I experienced anything exactly like it. Certainly all the devotees are affectionate. Certainly Prabhupada was affectionate. But this was overwhelming. So, he, Srila Puri Maharaj, others, great souls. If we went back and met all the great souls, Bhaktivinoda, Narottam Das Thakur, you find bulk of most of them are an ocean of knowledge. Right? They have great knowledge, great understanding, great awareness. But as one devotee said, what is the most important quality of guru? What quality should you look for in guru? So generally we think, well, one who knows the process of Krishna consciousness, one who follows it strictly, and you know, there's things to consider in looking for guru. But then he surprised everybody. He said, Kripa Sindhu, the ocean of mercy, look for this quality, because nothing else will save you. He might have so much knowledge, what good's that going to do you? You're a fallen soul, a sinful rascal. You need help, you need mercy. What if your guru is very learned, but he only wants to associate with other learned persons? You're out the door. He said, if you analyze, this is the main quality, Kripa Sindhu, an ocean of mercy. We should look for mercy, kindness. Mercy manifests not just in, you know, external thing. He's very kind. He allows me to stay in his ashram or something like that. Mercy ultimately comes to affection, love. All living entities want love. They all want affection. And to receive this from Krishna, the agency of Guru, this is the supreme shelter in life. When we find that, then we have come to our shelter. Knowledge is not our shelter. Knowledge destroys our lower doubts. But our highest doubt is, I won't be dealt with properly in the plane of love. That is a doubt. I'm afraid to give my heart. I may be cheated. Knowledge destroys the lower doubts. You know, what is a soul and reincarnation? You know, so many things. Even the process of devotion. What is Vaidhi Bhakti? What is Raghunuga? There must be some knowledge of that. That removes lower doubts and ignorance. But this mercy, this affection and love, this removes the last doubt. And that is, I won't be dealt properly. I won't be dealt with properly in the world of love. We all have that bitter experience. Cheated. cheated by a friend, cheated by a spouse, cheated by a brother, a sister. Cheated means the heart wrenched away. What happens when a man finds out his wife somewhere else? Recently this lady killed her husband in USA, ran over the guy 4 times with a car. Cheated. You see? Everyone has this doubt. But when we come in the connection of pure love and affection and the mercy of Guru, that doubt goes away. And ultimately, that's what we're all searching for. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Gopinandi, Hari Hari Bol.